This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. In the studio with me today, Dr. Thirunavakarasu Raju. He's the Honorary General Secretary from the Malaysian Medical Association, and we are discussing the health allocations in Budget 2020. Of course, that was tabled on the 11th of October by the Minister of Finance, and that budget saw the Ministry of Health receiving the third largest allocation of the entire budget at 30.6 billion ringgit. So that's for healthcare services in the country. So today, together with Dr. Arasu, we'll be sort of taking a deep dive into the different allocations that the Ministry of Health received and whether, you know, this is enough to see meaningful improvement in the health of all Malaysians. What were perhaps some of the gaps and what could be improved? If you have any questions or comments, you can call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-88 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon, Dr. Arasu. How are you today?
Very good afternoon. Feeling a bit nervous.
This is a big, big topic, isn't it? We're talking about next year's budget for everything to do with health in the country.
Of course.
This is, of course, we want to know the Malaysian Medical Association as the interest group for doctors and doctors as the, I suppose, the main custodian of health when it comes to direct contact with the patients, and you know what are the concerns when it comes to delivery of healthcare services directly to patients, whether we're talking about public, private health, even GPs. That's a big interest group there as well. So just gauging the MMA's immediate response to the budget, Dr. Arasu, we know that the 30.6 billion is an increase from 2019's budget allocation, which was 28.6 billion. What would be MMA's immediate response to the healthcare allocations?
I think, first of all, we have to congratulate our health minister, Dato' Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, under his stewardship. Even though the total government spending has decreased by 5.4%, but he has managed to convince the prudent Minister of Finance to get an increment of budget for the health ministry by almost 7%. And it forms 10.2% of total government spending. Mm-hmm. So that is something we are very happy. We would like to congratulate our health minister for that, for listening to the stakeholders and also for having his ears to the ground and then understanding what we need. Mm. Even though it may not be adequate at this time, but we believe it is the right way to move forward. Overall, I think the allocations, like for example, 1.6 billion allocation for infrastructure development and maintenance, we believe is long overdue, is timely. What is needed is also a transparent procurement criteria, mm-hmm. and how this budget is going to spend in terms of infrastructure development and maintenance.
Okay.
And then the other good thing is that the pool procurement, that 500 million whereby the medicines are being procured by three major ministries, Ministry of Health, Defence and Education. And we believe it is the right thing to do. But what is more important thing is that it need to be transparent. We need to know how the mechanism is going to be worked out, whether are there any discussions within the ministry or are they still in silo. And then what we came to know that they had one meeting in the last 1 year. So we hope that more details will be out, and then how they're going to do that, implementation part, the mechanism, all. We believe in the governance structure, the transparency and accountability must be there.
Okay. So we'll be sort of trying to break down some of these specific items in the budget. But overall, again, coming back to the quantum and the percentage of, so it's about 10% of the overall national budget, but also, we sort of try to benchmark to spending of GDP, and the current health allocation is 2% thereabouts of our GDP, and you know, Pakatan Harapan has given themselves a target of 4% of GDP. It is sort of quoted, that number is sort of quoted as the ideal kind of healthcare spending as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Of course, under the OECD or WHO, the recommended is around 7 to 8%, and the Ministry of Health is only spending 2%, and another 2%, close to 2% by the private sector. Of course, if you look at Pakatan Harapan's 4.4%, by right, it should be 60 billion this year, which, of course, it's quite difficult. Where are they going to get the additional 30 billion?
We're talking about doubling.
Doubling. Mm. And the other thing is that, are we ready? Are we ready to spend? How are we going to spend? So the details must be there as well. It's not about just increasing the budget. There must be a clear structure and the vision, and then the how are we going to spend the budget in reality.
What do you mean by, are we ready?
Okay, are we ready? We have been spending, the government has been spending 28 billion, 30 billion all this while. And there are complaints that even with the 28 billion, there is some level of leakages.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are spending 28, 30 billion, there are level of leakages. So what will be the quantum when you're 60 billion?
Mm-hmm.
So while you're small, you need to be very prudent. You need to create a system which is very transparent, accountable, and also good governance. So then only you can scale it up to 60 billion. So when you're small, you need to make sure your room is all in. I mean, your house is in order, everything is in place. There must be a system in place before we scale it up to 60 billion.
I mean, the same would be said for all government spending, isn't it, when it relates to taxpayers' money. But how much consultation was carried out between the Ministry of Health and key stakeholder groups like the MMA leading up to Budget 2020?
The Ministry of Finance did send us a letter asking us for a proposal, and then they had one meeting just a few weeks before that. We believe that probably a more structured meetings, they can have it a couple of months much earlier. And then because this is very important, they need to get the input from the stakeholders who are actually the frontliners who are actually delivering the care to the public. So the policymakers must listen to the stakeholders. So we hope in the future they will have more engagement with a ample of time is given.
Who would be the key stakeholders that need to be involved apart from the MMA?
I think we need to look at the ecosystem as well. You have the profession. And then if you're talking about the profession, you're talking about doctors, then you're talking about other profession who are also involved in the ecosystem. And then you also should be involved the patients, those who are patient groups as well. So, and then you need to involve the pharmacy industry. So the entire ecosystem who plays a major role in the thing must be involved.
Okay. Let's try to look at some specifics in the budget. As you've mentioned, 1.6 billion, put into construction, upgrading, expansion of hospitals and basically the main healthcare infrastructure. And as you said, for the MMA, this is overdue and welcome. We're seeing quite a number of items and quite big numbers going into the infrastructure aspect. So there's also 227 million to upgrade medical equipment. There's a separate 95 million for renovation of medical infrastructure and facilities. So looking at a lot of focus on the physical aspect. Of all these, and with a very broad mandate, it would seem, what do you think needs to be prioritized?
Okay, we have to look at, for example, some of the facilities. They're very old facilities, more than 50 years, and then they are, really congested, and then they are actually, they need overhaul, and we can see some of the things like fire that happened in the past. So there's something that urgently need to be addressed as well. And then the other thing is that we also look at the machineries, the medical devices, and you know that technology changes very fast. So probably the government need to have a new way of how can they leverage. And we believe that they're already doing that on certain medical devices whereby they do not procure, but then they go on a leasing basis and whereby those kind of basis so that it does not become an obsolete asset for the government.
Mm.
So this is something they should do. And apart from that, I think the ministers push towards the electronic medical records for the whole country. This is something that emphasis should be given, more budget should be given, importance should be given, how to connect the entire healthcare ecosystem in the country.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because how much was that? I have the quantum here. Trying to look for that. 31 million to upgrade and maintain ICT services, and that includes a pilot project for electronic medical records in a hospital. So again, upgrading and maintaining ICT services is a broad description. Overall, what does MMA want to see when it comes to digitization of health and strategies that would improve that?
Okay, for the time being, we do not have the details of how they're going to spend the 31 million. First of all, 31 million is not enough if you're talking about AMR for the whole country, but probably just one small pilot. But having said that, we do have a couple of new hospitals that was like Selayang, Sungai Buloh, Ampang, Serdang, Putrajaya, many a few other hospitals that already have their own information systems. Of course, the issue is that not communicating to each other. So these are the basic things. So what the health ministry can do is that look into what they already have and how can these systems communicate with each other. So once you have sought out these particular gaps, and then you can scale it up to the entire nation. And I believe that the Ministry of Health actually, through their Pusat Informatik and Health Information Systems and then their digital divisions, are already looking into all these things. So we hope that more focus and emphasis and budget is given so that they can realize this, not for too long, but it must be done in the next 1 year maybe.
But like you said, if it's a relatively small sum, it's probably just enough for a pilot project. But then Hospital Selayang was the, I think, the pioneer pilot project back in 1999 to implement the paperless hospital. So after, 20 years now, are we still looking only at piloting? What has happened since Hospital Selayang? That, you know, what has the progress been?
I do not have the privilege of the information on the progress, but just looking at someone that who believes in embracing technology, and then I strongly believe that EMR helps us in providing a more efficient system. So I think one of the issues are that various systems in those days, it cannot talk to each other. But today, with the advancement of technology and innovations, we have systems where it can talk to each other via APIs. So this is something that the political will and the stewardship should come in, that I want this to be implemented. It should be done in the next 3 months. Then I think all the stakeholders who are involved will take it more seriously. You must give a timeline.
Okay. We are talking about the health allocations in Budget 2020 that was tabled on 11th of October. Together in the studio with me, Dr. Thirunavakarasu Raju, Honorary General Secretary from the Malaysian Medical Association, to share the MMA's views on these health allocations and how is it going to improve healthcare delivery for Malaysians in the next year, but also looking ahead beyond that as well. So we'll come back after this quick break on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik. In the studio with me today, Dr. Thirunavakarasu Raju, Honorary General Secretary of the Malaysian Medical Association, or MMA. We're discussing health allocations under Budget 2020. Is it a budget for all Malaysians? Is it going to see significant improvement in healthcare delivery for Malaysians? If you have any questions or comments, call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. So the budget 2020's health allocations was 30.6 billion ringgit. We have a question from Sharul on WhatsApp. How much is the shortfall from the actual amount needed by the Ministry of Health? How much was the original amount requested by the MOH? Would you be privy to that, Dr. Arasu?
I don't have privy to that.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we would probably need to get the Minister of Health in the studio to answer that question. And so we've been talking a little bit about some of the items already. We mentioned the upgrading and construction of infrastructure like hospitals, medical equipment, facilities. I'm also really interested, Dr. Arasu, in the 5 million ringgit put aside for mobile clinics in rural areas, and this they singled out Orang Asli communities in particular. But to me, 5 million seems very, very small. Is it enough? And considering this relatively small amount, how would it be best spent?
As what the minister said, universal healthcare is about reaching the unreached when you went to Sarawak. Of course, the budget allocation will never be enough. So with the scarcity of resources, how do we leverage and give the best out of that? I think what we need is that, of course, when you do into mobile clinics, what MMA feels that 5 million should be spent to is that how do we empower the Orang Asli communities? I mean, basic health. So if you can empower them on basic health and then equip them with basic tools, like, for example, teleconsulting.
Mm-hmm.
If there are places in their community whereby you can always work with telco companies to provide 4G lines or whatever at that place, and then a portal whereby in the case of anything, they can always communicate with the doctors, with the nearest klinik kesihatan or the public hospital, probably the money should be spent more into that. Because by setting up a mobile clinic, how many can you do?
Mm.
But by doing this, a concept, you can actually scale it and develop it in many other remote villages as well.
Is there even that infrastructure, the basic, like you say, the communication infrastructure in place for that to happen?
Probably the ministry can work with some telco companies as a CSR, whereby today, remotely, you can have access, in fact, whether by satellite, I'm not very sure. So by satellite or that, this something can be explored with the telco companies.
Okay. And another item that was quite well received was the 60 million ringgit to include pneumococcal vaccination in the National Immunization Program. And a lot of people were waiting for this last year and it wasn't included. And this year it was. So how much of an impact will this make in terms of reducing the burden of pneumococcal disease among children?
This is something that we like to... This is something commendable from the Ministry of Health, especially the minister who has also been pushing on this. Even though the budget is small, but at least it's a good start. It's a good start. What we need is that predictable budget in the subsequent years, because 60 million is not enough to immunize even those children below the age of 2 years, because looking at the schedules. But of course, this is part of the... vaccine preventable diseases, because pneumococcal meningitis, infection of the brain because of pneumococcal, is very, very fatal. So this will definitely reduce the disease burden and also vaccine preventable diseases.
Because I think the Minister of Health last year, and it was at a BFM event where he actually spoke out very strongly and said that he had asked for 150 million, in fact. And so this is far, 60 million is far short. It was, of course, mentioned this is an initial 60 million. Considering the costs that come in when you include vaccination under the NIP, that's the cost of the vaccine itself, that's the cold chain, transportation and all that. What will 60 million be able to cover?
The average cost in the market now could be around 200 plus on a standard vaccine.
That's an average estimate?
Yeah, that's an average. Mm-hmm. So probably with the pool procurement, with the government negotiation, with the economy of scale, hopefully they can get a better deal. And probably they should be looking into a co-payment, some sort of co-payment. Government allocates certain budget, and then those who comes in start as a co-payment. I mean, we got to start somewhere first. Mm. And I think it's a very good initiative by the government as well.
Mm. But there will need to be that commitment year on year.
Yes.
To continue or perhaps even scale up that those resources, right? What is the impact of, putting government money into... this vaccination, what's the impact on the growing trend of vaccine hesitancy? What kind of message do you think it can send?
I think this is a very strong message the government is sending to the anti-vaccine movement, that the government is very, very serious into vaccination and also vaccine preventable diseases. And I think it's a very good message, very strong message sending to this particular group.
Mm. Speaking of, vaccine hesitancy, even anti-vaccination, what does MMA stand on any proposal to make vaccination mandatory?
MMA welcomes vaccination mandatory, but for that you must have few other measures in terms of like vaccine injury compensations, certain mechanisms need to be put in place. In fact, Ministry of Health has invited us for one or two stakeholders engagement on that particular issues. And probably at this point of time, what is more needed is awareness. Awareness is the key. We need to speak more about the awareness. And, you know, with the technology, with the social media, there's a lot of fake news. Actually, healthcare sector is one of the victims of fake news. A lot of fake news out there. So I think continuous awareness, education is what is needed at this point of time.
So you mentioned pooled procurement a couple of times already. So that was one item that was set aside. The government will centralize and combine the tender and procurement of 500 million ringgit worth of medicines across three ministries, Ministry of Health and Education and Defence Ministries, which also have healthcare facilities. Can you explain what pooled procurement means and how is this going to translate into better healthcare for people?
Okay, pooled procurement, basically you're pooling your resources. Like for example, three ministries are buying, let's say, 500,000 worth of products. In silo, maybe one ministry buying 150,000 and the other one buying 200,000, negotiating separately. But when you put it together, you have the economy of scale, you have the bargaining power based on the volume to reduce. So you may reduce a substantial amount in terms of during the procurement. But what is needed? We need to understand what is the mechanism. What is the mechanism? What is the tender processes? So all these things must be very clear and specified. So for this to happen, these ministries, they need to form a working group. But you must have a timeline. You must have a timeline, a clear plan. How are they going to do it? And it has to be public and it has to be transparent.
I mean, are we already seeing sufficient transparency within the existing procurement mechanisms within each ministry? Is there sufficient transparency?
I think many of us, we are hearing that, but we are yet to see how transparent it is.
Okay, all right. I mean, if you could give us an example of how, you know, what kind of... whether perhaps KPI isn't the right word to use, what kind of outcomes, you know, measurable outcomes would help us to monitor whether the process is as transparent, is as beneficial as it could be?
Okay, number one, the government should come out to tell the public how the mechanism they're going to do it, the structure. I mean, there's no secret about it, how the structure is going to be done. Who is going to be the key ministry involved in the negotiation? How are the drugs going to be distributed? So what are the mechanisms on that? So what are the pricing they're going to get? So all these things, they can spell it out. So then we can see exactly how much actually we are spending. Okay, let's say currently we are spending X amount. After the pool procurement, we are spending X amount of money. So at least we know the differences. That could be one KPI. And the distribution, how are we going to distribute it, leveraging on that? So these are the things that they can... be a KPI for us.
Okay. And when it comes to transparency, that's one of the concerns regarding the My Salam scheme. So this is the income replacement scheme that was actually announced in Budget 2019 and continued this year. So among the things that were spelled out was that My Salam will be expanded from covering 36 illnesses. Now it will cover 45. And the age has been extended for those up to 65 years. So looking at, I think those two main things that is expanding My Salam's coverage, what are MMA's thoughts on this scheme? And, you know, especially the covered illnesses, as well as the accessibility of the program and how many people have actually been able to make claims from it. What are MMA's concerns?
Okay, My Salam is basically just a social protection scheme. It is not a health insurance. So basically, it's just to help those B40 group when they fall sick, having one of these diseases, at least during the time they're admitted, they can be, there's some kind of compensation for the family. But it is, what we say, it is more like a social program. They'll improve coverage and outcomes in terms of monetary wise on them during the difficult time. But the outstanding question remains the unequal and opaque contract with Great Eastern. So, of course, we are concerned a private insurance being involved in such schemes is always a concern for us. So MME was not consulted when they developed this scheme. So we are still looking for it. We'll see how it goes.
What are the possible concerns, the pitfalls of having a private insurance provider linked to a social scheme like this?
There will always be a lot of speculation, especially private insurance. What is their ecosystem? Mm-hmm. The ecosystem is providing healthcare insurance. So for you to provide healthcare insurance, what are the information that you need? You need health data. Okay, so there's always a fear, even though the ministry have denied it. And then there's always a fear why, even though it has been explained, you know, because of the because of the investment and all this part, but there's always a fear on that part, private insurance being involved in this.
And obtaining private and personal data being one of the possible issues.
It is always an issue.
Yes, yeah. And also the number of critical illnesses covered. And again, there's still not much information available about what these expanded diseases are. But some news reports say polio is among them and something very broadly called terminal illnesses. Does MMA have more insight into this?
At the moment, we do not have more details apart from what was presented at the budget. So we are also waiting for more details,
okay,
if we can comment.
All right. And the other major aspect of Budget 2020 would be PKB 40, which is the health screening program for the B40 group. So a couple of things, a couple of ways in which it's been expanded. The age of the criteria is lowered to 40 years. And also, it includes the M40 group now in terms of income. So I think for doctors, in the whole of 2019, after PKB 40 was announced in Budget 2019, the main contention for doctors was how GPs would be able to carry this out and how much they would be able to charge for it. Can you shed some light into the doctors' concerns with PKB 40?
PKB 40 is a project, MMA supported it because it's a noble project for the Ministry of Health. At the onset, we did raise the issue, why 50? Why don't we make it 40?
The age,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. On the age part. Okay, in terms of the issue, you see, when you develop some kind of program, you must always understand the implementation part of it, how practical, how feasible, what are the challenges. You have 7 pages of form and then you have questionnaires.
Mm-hmm.
So a typical patient, when they fill up a questionnaire, when they come into the consultation room, they'll ask a lot of questions from the question they filled up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame them for that. And you have lots of data entry. So when you enter data, of course, the first initial visit, the government pays 40 ringgit, and subsequently for a follow-up, and they'll pay the 20 ringgit. So what we are looking is that it is a data entry. It's a good project, but MMA feels poor implementation without understanding what are the real issues when you implement something on the ground.
So is it purely the fact that it's taking up a lot of time for GPs to do it?
It will take a lot of time because we're talking about 7 pages of forms to fill up.
Mm-hmm.
7 pages of form to fill up. After filling up the form, you need to keen into the okay. system, ministry
right.
system.
Okay.
So this consumes lots of time as well.
Okay.
So what we would have, we suggested actually, why this duplication? For example, Perkeso is doing it 40 above from 2013, and the uptake is until now is only less than 20%.
Mm.
And then now we have PKB 40, and then the government clinics also provide screening when you are 40 above for the public servant.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't they all work together rather than duplication and come on one system, consult the stakeholders who are involved on the ground and develop something which is practical and feasible to be done.
So currently with all the different agencies offering screening, is any of that data shared at all?
At the moment, I think, for example, Perkeso do publish in terms of demographic data of number of screening done, how many diabetic, hypertension, cholesterol, obesity, they do publish in their websites.
Okay, but I was thinking more about if one person has done a screening that's offered under the Perkeso scheme and then goes to a GP for under the PKB 40, And what he's done under Perkiso is not available to the GP.
Yeah, at the moment it's not available. That is why MMA stand is that is a duplication of work and then waste of resources when a person could have done in three places. And we do not have access to the data.
And what about the follow-up after screening is carried out with the GP, for instance? You know, what is the system in place for escalating that patient to see a specialist if certain diseases have been picked up?
At the moment, under the PECAP B40, when we pick up a case and then we feel that we, if the patient's willing to be treated at the clinic, we do provide treatment. And if it's not, then we refer to the nearest clinic kesihatan. If it needs a specialty care, then we refer to the hospitals.
Okay. And the other thing that made the news related to PECAP B40 was how much private GPs can charge or would be compensated for doing the program. Has there been any resolution on that?
The ministry, under the PECAP B40, the first visit, they remunerate the GPs at 40 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the subsequent visit, if they come back, they'll be remunerated 20 ringgit.
Okay. And that's acceptable for GPs?
We feel for the amount of work we do, if you're going to spend 20, 30 minutes on a patient and then if you're going to pay only 40 ringgit, I think it's not fair because you're providing professional services. It's not only about taking blood, you're taking history and then detailed history and then administrative work. And we feel the amount is very little. But having said that, at the onset, when the first PECAP B40 was launched, it was actually 35 ringgit and 30 ringgit. It was 65 ringgit. In fact, MMA agreed for 65 ringgit for the overall package. But only thing, we want the processes to be more smoother. We were willing to participate and help the government do that because we feel it's a noble project by the Ministry of Health.
Mm-hmm.
And our stand is that it is a good project by the Minister of Health, but it's a poor implementation.
Okay. We are talking about health allocations under Budget 2020 with Dr. Thiru Navakarasu Raju, Honorary General Secretary of the Malaysian Medical Association. We'll just go for one last quick break and come back to talk a little bit about, you know, what was possibly from MMA's stand, some of the missed opportunities in Budget 2020. What had you been looking forward to that didn't make the cut? And looking ahead beyond 2020 as well. We'll come back to this after the market update on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. In the studio with me today, Dr. Thiru Navakarasu Raju, Honorary General Secretary of the Malaysian Medical Association. We are talking about Budget 2020 and its healthcare allocations and what were some of MMA's responses, as well as some concerns about these allocations. We've gone through some of the big ticket items and let's look at, I mean, we've not been able to cover everything, of course. It's really just a broad look. But for the MMA, Dr. Arasu, what were perhaps some of the missed opportunities, some things that you had hoped to see but did not?
The obvious absences are specific allocation for mental health, prevention of non-communicable diseases, and old aged care.
Mm-hmm.
There are also no visible large allocations to the public health and primary care functions inside the Ministry of Health, or any allocations to encourage inter-ministry collaboration in our healthcare system. And also, we're also looking forward towards the public-private partnership initiatives between the government and also the GPs, 7,000 plus, 6,587 GPs in the country.
Can I ask you to elaborate on maybe one of them, the public-private partnerships?
Of course, PECAP B40 is one of the public-private partnership. So we're also looking into, the government is committed towards universal healthcare, and then it's a signatory of the Astana Declaration. And then if you're looking at the healthcare system in the country, we have 6,587 general practitioners clinic in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then compared to the governments where 1,000 clinic kesihatan and another 1,000 plus clinic desa.
Mm-hmm.
So you have human capital, trained human capital. That means the doctors have gone through medical schools and then have gone through 4 to 5 years of the system, the healthcare system in the country before they can come out and then operate the clinic. So what we were looking is that there must be serious commitment coming from the Ministry of Health. How can we work together in terms of delivery of services? We know that government facilities are congested. So how do we work together on that part? So we do not see, unless it could be somewhere in the nitty-gritty that is not available for the public view at this point of time.
Mm.
So we were also looking for that because this was also discussed for the Rancangan Malaysia Kedoblas. So we hope that as a precursor, it could have just started in this budget as well.
Mm, okay. And, you know, when it comes to specific areas of health, like you've mentioned, mental health, prevention of non-communicable diseases, aged care, you know, the argument could be made that there's just simply not enough money to go around for everything. So why those areas that you felt were most glaring in their absence?
Probably it is in the nitty-gritty in the budget. At the moment, it's not available.
So it's not to say that it's not being covered.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not being mentioned at the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just talking based on that. So probably it's in the nitty-gritty at the moment, it's not being available.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that, as I was telling earlier, the inter-ministry collaboration, mm-hmm. which is very important. And just to highlight, the Ministry of Health, to commend them, there are two initiatives they've done. For example, for the inter-ministry, one is the One Health approach for the antimicrobial resistance,
mm-hmm.
whereby, you know, that is really a danger that we are facing, whereby 700,000 deaths annually and also 10 million deaths anticipated by 2050.
Mm-hmm.
So currently the Ministry of Health with other ministries are also working on this. That is one collaborative approach the ministry have done. And the other thing is that under the MITI, they have this private healthcare productivity nexus, championed by Dr. Jacob Thomas. This is also an initiative it's a multi-sectorial initiative whereby involving Ministry of Health and other ministries and also stakeholders to resolve issues in the private healthcare sector. So these are the things that is ongoing things. So what we are looking at is that there should be some level of importance, more budget should be given to this kind of initiatives.
Okay. And, you know, we hear about these allocations once a year. A year goes by, and then we hear of another billion, another few billion being allocated again in the following year's budget. So, you know, in that 12 months in between, what's happening to the resources? Are they going where they should be going? Are they having the impact they should have? How do we know? How do stakeholders and the public, the taxpayers, know? How can we monitor that these funds are being efficiently used?
I think with the technology available today, and then what the government should do is that they create dashboards. Mm-hmm. They create dashboards, like, for example, in every sector they're investing. Periodically, probably on a quarterly basis, they can update on the dashboard the amount of money allocated, what is the outcome they've achieved so far. So at least we will know how the money is being spent, what are the outcomes of this money being spent. So that could be something they can start. And I believe they have all the resources to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, we've also been talking, we've had more conversations about healthcare reform now. We know that it's a system that's straining. It's not sustainable, especially financially. Do you think there needs to be multi-year reform built into these annual budgets?
One thing we have to acknowledge that the system that taking us towards 2020 may not be the system that's taking us towards 2030.
Mm.
There must be a reform.
Mm-hmm.
The reform, one of the major reforms, that delivery and also the finance. How are we going to finance? And when we say to increase the healthcare budget to another 30 billion, 30 billion plus 30 billion, where are we going to get these funds? So that is something that the government should seriously think about that. How do we raise that fund?
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, funding is one of the major issues.
Mm.
So whether are we going towards a National Health Financing Fund. So if we're looking at Rancangan Malaysia Kedoblas, there's something they talk about it. So what is more important than that is that there must be a clear governance structure towards all these things.
Mm.
So all these things need to be spelled out very clearly. And we know there's an issue. And we need to acknowledge it. And we need to find ways how to overcome that.
Mm. And, you know, speaking of 2030, that's really only 10 short years away. We are already seeing 2020 next year. And with that, we now have a new vision, the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. And that was announced shortly before Budget 2020. One of the things that is to be included in this, it just reads as a very broad index, but one of the things is a Rakyat Health Index. So from MMA's standpoint, you know, what would you like to see being measured in this index?
Yeah, in fact, I've been Googling also about the Riot Health Index for the last couple of days, unable to find anything. So we thought that probably it could be a health indicators. But just to share that for us, if you're talking about Riot Health Index, we are looking into delivery of healthcare services. So how are we going to deliver the healthcare services in the next 10 years? And then what are the health outcomes that we are looking at in terms of NCD management, mental health, current disease burdens? And also, we also should look into the population health,
mm-hmm.
population health and community health. So these are the areas that we hope that Riot Health Index covers. So we're also looking into happiness. Are we going to be like Bhutan, to where they measure the happiness of the Riot?
So it's
a very broad. And then if you're asking MMS perspective, it's more into healthcare deliveries and also the health outcomes and also the addressing the disease burden currently.
Okay. Because 10 years isn't very far away, is it? So we've gone into some detail about Budget 2020. What have been some of the positives about it, though? I mean, we don't want to just be talking about shortfalls and gaps. Those are important, but what are some of the positives that will, in the immediate term for next year, improve some healthcare delivery? And then, you know, what does MMA look forward to after that?
I think number one, the increase itself is something very positive. And number two, allocation of $1.6 billion for infrastructure is something very good. And then $60 million for the pneumococcal, that is also very good. And then lowering the age for PECA B40
mm-hmm.
is also very good. And then focusing and also giving importance towards the electronic medical records,
mm-hmm.
it's also very good. And then if you're talking about the Orang Asli, reaching the unreached initiative is also very good. I think overall MMA is quite happy with the budget. We're happy with the budget and also the procurement system, the pool procurement. These are all the good, positive points that we should actually commend the government for that.
Mm.
We cannot just criticize for the sake of criticizing. There are good things they're doing and we should support that.
But it's all going to be in the details of the implementation. Do you have a final message, Dr. Arasu, with regard to the healthcare allocations?
Final message is that we'd like to congratulate the health minister for his stewardship. And then what we are looking at is that in the midterm report of this budget, we hope to see some parameters and then a discussion with the stakeholders to see how we have achieved until then.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Dr. Thirunavakarasu Raju, Honorary General Secretary of the Malaysian Medical Association. We've been discussing the health allocations under Budget 2020. This was Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.